We are the Morning Jam.
We always love having this guy on the program. It's 8:06 and it's time for Dr. Bob Denton. He is the director of School of Communication at Virginia Tech, where apparently they're going to be getting a new coach. Dr. Bob, we just talked about that going into the break.
That I'm a little bit surprised when I heard you say that.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of bad when your future is depending upon these 17, 18-year-olds. And, of course, now they're free agents and they are paid employees of the university. I tell you, the whole football and student athletic, which is a myth, is a tough world to be in.
Oh, but, yeah.
But I feel for Coach Fuente. I liked his values. I thought he was a good coach. So anyway, but I'm not surprised. You know how the Hokie Nation is.
Yeah, they want wins. They want winning seasons. I get that. But I don't want to call you out on that. I'd rather call you out on something a little bit more fun, like
more
politics.
More pleasant.
So, Dr. Denton, we've been talking about this transition team. Some of the folks, we've had a few stories here on the show of some of the folks that, you know, Glenn Youngkin is pulling together. That is really one of the first signs of how this guy may govern, is the folks that he is putting together for his team. Can we speak to that for a few minutes?
Oh, absolutely. No, the 12-member team is certainly an excellent diverse in terms of geography, political party, levels of government experience, array of industries and jobs from the private and public sector. I think it's an impressive group. I think it does signal a few things. One, cooperation, less hyper-partisanship, and above all, which is partly why it's successful in winning, is the focus is going to be on Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a very good mix, and I have to say from South Side and Southwest Virginia, we certainly benefit with four folks of the 12. And so this region, for more than a decade, losing positions at delegates and Senate, losing leadership of various committees, going more and more toward Northern Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good to see that Southside and Southwest Virginia is very much part of his consideration and well attended in this team. And, of course, it was Southside and Southwest Virginia that really did come through for him in a major way. So I think it's an impressive group. I think it's a representative group. And I think it bodes well, quite frankly.
Can we talk a little bit about the post-election analysis now, a week to 10 days out? I don't know if I got to the sound bites yesterday, but there is some really, really crazy, and they're mostly on MSNBC, but they still get a voice on a potential network that covers the whole country, talking about the whole white Trump, you know, right wing, you know, white supremacist voters that came out for Glenn Youngkin. They are just trying to paint this guy with that brush, and he hasn't even set foot inside the governor's mansion yet.
Well, the fact of the matter is, if you look at the exit polling, if you look at the actual down to even the precinct level, it was a transformative election. The most votes anyone running for governor, certainly the most any Republican has received. The turnout is a historic level in terms of the governor, contemporary modern times for government. Clearly inroads in terms of the minority vote, suburbs, swing voters, independent voters return in terms of the Republicans. I mean, if you take the 30,000-foot view, there's no rationale for some of those statements like that. But I have to confess, and please forgive me, I don't even turn on MSNBC or CNN or any of those. They're not sources of of my attention.
Mm-hmm.
But I have heard around the fringes in terms of some of the articles. And it's just what they're doing is opining. They're certainly not reporting.
Well, they don't want to admit that they had a flawed candidate in Terry McAuliffe. You know, he made education the number one topic that seemed to get people out to vote against him. So I, you know, they're not honest in their analysis, but you know, they do what they do. Let's talk about how we move forward. What do you see in that first 100 days? I know we still have to deal with the Senate side of our state legislature, but he will have, according to what we're seeing, you know, a Republican, you know, legislature, at least half of it that he can work with. What do you think he can get done in that, you know, that first 100 days, 6 months?
Well, there's going to be a lot of focus on that. And really, if I was on the one of the 12, I would certainly say only pick 1 to 3 items. Just mm-hmm. focus on that. Certainly going to have to be take Democrats to get anything through, because as you say, the reality is it is the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
So keep it Virginia focused, 2 or 3 big things. The budget looks very positive, almost incredibly so. And do be very proactive in terms of selling it across the state. So I would say don't be over ambitious. I think there's some things that are doesn't require approval, such as no mandates per se, what are the responsibility of localities, and certainly as it relates to the food tax and some of the other things that he had talked about would be very important. So the first 100 days, remember Northam in December is going to have a budget.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the governor-elect takes over, there'll be some revisions there, 2 or 3 initiatives. Certainly must be working behind the scenes with the Democrats in terms of the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
So don't overreach. Stay focused on Virginia would be what I would anticipate. He's very smart. His team is smart. The campaign was one of the, as I had shared with y'all, one of the, since 1992 with George Allen, probably the third best that I had seen. And that shows me the very strategic, pragmatic, programmatic, with a good focus, and he's very disciplined.
Yeah.
And so I think we'll see that same kind of operational going forward.
So we have officially certified the results of the election, but 2 races where Republicans are leading are eligible for recounts. What do you think is going to happen there?
Well, because of that it's less than 0.5%, the individuals will not have to pay for the recount. But I have to tell you, even though the numbers are in one case under 100, in one case 127, because of the counting today and the technology and the odds would be against that they would find that number of votes. I think it's a bit late to pull something out of a closet, but who knows? I mean,
it's happened before.
But they have been certified. So the fact of the matter is, I think the odds it would be oftentimes you might find 10%. So that would be 12 or 9, 10 or 12 votes. But the odds would still be that those should stand.
Mm-hmm.
If I had a dollar to bet, I would say that it should stand.
And
but that's
could,
still a thin line majority, though.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it is, but it's certainly better than a 50-50 split.
Without question.
So
yes.
So
indeed.
that could be very good for him, for sure. All right, well, we appreciate so much, as always, your insight on these things, and look forward to having you on again as we usher Governor Runkin in January with great anticipation.
Yes. And Marie,
well, this is going to be a major transition. And I think the Virginians can see a little bit of sigh of relief. And certainly we got the nation's attention in terms of this election. And I think the Democrats are listening and trying to pay attention, looking in terms of the midterm election.
Hey, one quick question. I just want to kind of a yes or no answer. Or you can comment because, you know, you are our guest.
That's right.
What do you think about, do you think that Terry McAuliffe will be tapped by Joe Biden? And if he is, where do you think he's going to place him in his administration?
I would say odds are yes,
mm-hmm.
and I have no idea.
Gotcha. Hey, that's well, that will give us some conversations in the near future. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
You got to love Dr. Bob. He just like calls it like it is.
Yeah, that's right. Dr. Bob Denton from Virginia Tech. He is the communications head over there, and we just appreciate him so much. He brings so much insight. It's 8:16 on the Morning Jam. Janet will have our winner for a Come to the Table event that we're celebrating now on Tuesdays. We're so excited that the folks over at Harvest Baptist, and it's
honey-baked ham.
Honey-baked ham. I knew it as heavenly ham for so many years.
Right, it's honey-baked ham.
The Morning Jam with Janet Rose and Mark Lamb.